What's up, people? You're now tuned in to Wrestle Extra, your weekly dose of everything black wrestling, brought to you by Black Wrestling Alliance, with co-hosts myself, Mex, the WrestleManiac, and of course, the Professor Gerard Bonner. Make sure you leave us a review, 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using, and tune in to Wrestle Extra every Tuesday. Enjoy.
Yo, 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 this is a Wrestle Extra. I'm your boy, A Dazzle, the Black Wrestling Advocate. Always joined by my trios team, the Real House of Black, Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Yeah. And of course, yeah, the wise man that is the Professor Gerard Bonner. We've been away for 2 weeks. We're only 9 days into 2024. And already there is so much to talk about, unpack, unwind, look at, dive into, and talk about. Oh my word. But the first thing we're going to talk about is, as Mex mentioned in the intro, the possible and very much almost certain return of Trinity, formerly known as Naomi in WWE, going back to the WWE. Now, Trinity has been with Impact for the past, I believe it's 6 months. Came in almost straight away, won the Knockouts championship. She has kind of, you know, based on numbers in terms of YouTube, in terms of ticket sales and all the rest of it, has, you know, elevated Impact to a certain level. But now already it feels as though the fairy tale of Trinity and Impact is about to come to an end as early as next week, this weekend, not even next week, this weekend, as Impact switches back to TNA for Hard to Kill on the 13th of January. Gerard, I'm going to come to you first. When you first heard this news, when you read that on the dirt sheets and all the rest of it, what was your first thought of Trinity returning to WWE?
My first thought was death to dirt sheets. That was my first thought. Death to dirt sheets, okay? For a couple of reasons. Number one, if this is true, it would have been far more impactful to have just heard her music at the Royal Rumble. It would have reminded me of, I believe it was 2020, when Edge's music played out of nowhere and we all collectively lost our stuff. Okay. That would have been incredible. So there's that. The other piece of this that kind of bugs me, again, if it's true, is I don't believe that it's time yet. I think it's still too early. Trinity is just becoming a name, like a household name that carries a brand. She has done something in Impact that I think it's safe to say no other woman has done. Yes, Gail Kim was incredible and, you know, launched the Knockouts division, and Awesome Kong was amazing, and Jordan Grace and Mickey James and all these people, but no one person moved the mainstream needle like Trinity did. Trinity showing up on the Sherry Shepherd show. It's called Sherry. Showing up on Sherry, right? You know, she shows up in all of these places, and she's on runways, okay? She's modeling. She's at world premieres. She's doing the things that a mainstream star does. And she's so good that they're selling out pay-per-views. That they're so good they need to change their name back to TNA. They don't have to hide as Impact anymore. They can be TNA. She's so good that they end up now getting a streaming service with another major wrestling company. I endeavor to think that it's a pretty amazing move. Okay? I do. So to me, I think, first of all, I hope this is wrong. Like, and I think we'll probably know this Saturday. If she drops the strap, then it's a pretty much foregone conclusion she's out of there. If she wins everybody's going to go, okay, you guys were talking crazy. I equally hope that TNA has found a way, since they've been signing all these people, to go, okay, let's sit down at the drawing board and let's talk about this again. Because WWE is a very different place than when Trinity left, for a lot of reasons. But the one reason that concerns me the most is that it is very star heavy right now in WWE. And my concern is if Trinity goes back, she'll come back and play the role of the female Kofi in the Royal Rumble. Oh, you're great for spots. You're great for those highlight moments, but you won't win the big one. And that concerns me right now. It concerns me greatly. Yes, Charlotte's out, but WWE is not short of female stars with Charlotte out right now. So to me, Trinity needs to remain in TNA, build this TNA era for a bit, at least another 6 months, maybe a year. Maybe a year, because when you start thinking about the names that are in WWE right now, like, these are household names, and it's unfortunate to say that if Trinity comes back now, she's not winning a title. She's not going to do the things that she said she was going to do before, because there are too many other people in line right now. So death to dirt sheets. Let this be false. TNA, do what you need to do and keep Trinity Fatu.
So we know, or we've heard, we don't know, we've heard that her contract with TNA is up in the next week or so. Of course, Royal Rumble is around the corner. We've also heard that, you know, there's been talks with Trinity to return to WWE for around about a year now. You know, at least the middle of last year, there was talks. Of course, WWE's gone through all sorts of different changes and whatnot, so If nothing else, that in itself probably could have held things back. She's joined Impact. It's become what it's become. She's become who she's become. And as you rightly said, Gerard, you know, there are so many women right now in the WWE that are doing well, have kind of got decent storylines going on, are involved in enough stuff. You know, you've got the likes of Nia Jax, who kind of returned again out of nowhere, but is doing amazing right now and all the rest of it. Mex, do you feel the same as Gerard in the sense where this might be too early? There's probably too much going on. Or is it possible to argue that it wouldn't make any difference whether it was now or in 6 months? It may just still be exactly the same.
There's definitely an argument that it could be exactly the same. It does feel a bit early, but at the same time, I would ask, what is left for her in TNA? Like, she has faced the who's who's of that division. She's went through all of those ladies. We've even seen, you know, one of them, Deonna Purrazzo, defect to AEW at this point. Mm. And big up Deonna Purrazzo. She deserves that opportunity on that bigger stage as well. So she could be looking around and thinking, well, you know, there might not be much else to do here. I've faced the best of this division. And we can't negate the fact that WWE is under new ownership since the kerfuffle which made her leave. Things are happening there. I do think, well, if she comes back at the Rumble, amazing pop. Yes, like Gerard said, it would have been better without us, you know, anticipating that she's going to come, just turning up. Of course, she's now synonymous with the Rumble ever since her infamous return with the Afro and everything like that. And of course, the Kofi-esque spots as well. But yeah, I don't see her winning the Rumble per se. If she comes back and wins the Rumble, then mate, I'm throwing a party in my house. Like, honestly, but
real talk.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. And then if she's going to be treated as a big return, you would think, well, even if she doesn't win the Rumble, she's got to be involved at Mania. So where does she fit in the picture there? So, yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. To be honest, we will never know, you know, until we one day meet Trinity. This could have been the plan. This could have been, let me just go and test the waters elsewhere for a year and come back. Another thing we don't know, you know, she's, I guess, to an extent, because I know they tape Impact. She's away from her husband. She might like working with her husband, being there all the time, whatever the case is. She's away from friends. She's known in the WWE for well over 10 years now. So there are other aspects. You know, she might even just be in a better bargaining position. Whatever she was earning now might, I would assume, have gone up in the WWE if she is to return. My only thing is, and this is pure speculation, there is still the caveat of her mate, Mercedes Moné, hanging. Mercedes, the talks of WWE have, you know, quietened down. WWE putting out to the world, through the report of course, you know, we expect her to imminently show up somewhere else. We've had one episode of Dynamite, which is the supposed one somewhere else. No Mercedes Moné. We've even had a whole Wrestle Kingdom. No Mercedes Moné. Last week on the Mat Men podcast, Andrew Zarian, who often gets a lot of things right as well, he came out and said he never thought that she was going to turn up last week, but he's 90% sure she turns up tomorrow. That's what he said. And he said it's 100% going to be AEW. He's pretty sure it's be AEW. He's 90% it'll happen tomorrow, as opposed to Alvarez that was like, oh, it's got to happen, you know, as of last week. So a lot is being said by all of these guys and reporters. You don't know who to believe. You don't know how they even know in the first place. But, you know, at the same time, everyone should remember WWE said CM Punk stuff is finished. It's done. We, you know, we ain't getting him.
Don't want him.
And then he turns up at Survivor Series. So this could all be a red herring. This could all be messing around. If Naomi is to return, who better to return with than the person you walked out the door with? You know, they could do the whole initial Naomi comes first, massive pop, people are happy to see her. And she kind of turns towards the entrance way. And, you know, Sasha Banks is there. I just think that if we don't see Mercedes tomorrow, as promised, you know, there may be a lot more to believe in Naomi returning and possibly returning with who, because I'm sure those girls would have liked to do that. If they're going to return, they kind of come back together. But yeah, it's, I don't think she could offer any additional value. I think to TNA as a show, as the leader of the women's division, as they kind of enter this TNA era again, yes, that could be good. And to have her name just kind of written into that history would be brilliant. Just in terms of, you know, the personnel in that division, she's got through it and got through it fairly quickly. And I remember us sitting here and saying that, you know, this was going to be the case if they put the strap on her as early as they did. And here we are, less than a year later, looking at that exact problem.
This is very true. It's a crazy one. I think I'm on the same wavelength from when Gerard said, you know, it's too early. I believe that even just on, you know, on an aesthetic level, just in terms of accomplishments and all the rest of it, just to kind of create some kind of a legacy. I think personally it would be in her best interest to stick with TNA for at least another few months. Even if she lost to Jordynne Grace at the weekend, there's still kind of, you know, there's the chase, there's other women to get involved with, all that kind of thing, and then maybe win it again, maybe not, at least challenge for it. She loses, then she moves on, whatever, whatever. But there's, I think there is still a lot that can be done, and I think it's mainly because of this change of Impact back to TNA. It's a lot to do with that. But also at the same time, we know full well that her plan was always to go back to WWE. It was always going to be that. Even when her and Sasha Banks left, and a few months in, we were thinking, okay, where are they going to end up? Who's going to do what? We always said it's almost like the only place for Naomi to go back to would be WWE, because she was so familiar with the place, her husband's there, and all the rest of it. So I'm not necessarily surprised by it, but at the same time, I'm still like, just give it a bit of time. Don't rush it. Like, what's the rush? For me, that's the biggest question for me. Is like, what is the rush? And I don't think it would be any better for her in 6 months. I don't think it would be any different. There would still be, you know, Nia Jax on the trajectory and Io Sky doing her thing and Rhea Ripley's dominating and Bianca still has to have something else, something to do, and Bayley's still there and all the rest of it. And there still wouldn't be an easy place to fit her in. I don't think it matters how much she does in TNA in the next 6 months if she stays. I don't think there's an easy place to fit her in. But I think for me, that's why she should stick around in TNA for a little while to do something. She's at the top of the division. She's at the top of her game. She's moving the numbers, all the rest of it. Stay there. WWE are not going to lose interest. I don't believe they would lose interest in her if she sticks around. But my question will always be, where do they fit her in? How does she fit in? Does she have to win something as soon as she comes back? Does she have to be at the top? That's the hard part. I think that's the hard part, just fitting her back in. And how we've still got Jade Cargill waiting to be thrown into this whole mix as well.
You've got Jade. You've got all the NXT girls. Roxanne Perez. You've got Lyra Valkyria. You've got Lola Vice. You've got Tiffany Nikita Stratton. Lyons. Tiffany Stratton. I mean, like, that's scary, the names we just went through. Scary, you know? Couple that with, and this is my other concern, what will history say about Trinity's run in Impact? Because at this point, she's not the longest reigning champion. I don't believe she's had the most defenses yet. So I'm trying to just think, how will history look back at this? And I think that that is just as important. And if I'm Trinity, I'm thinking the only, because we all know, even if she debuts the way Mech says, then she's going to be upstaged by Mercedes. You know what I mean? It'll be just like Orton and Punk. The only difference is Orton. That. Orton is Orton. So, you know, but still. And so my concern for Trinity is, and maybe she's not thinking about any of these things. Maybe none of this stuff matters to her. Maybe it just matters to us, right?
True.
But which is equally possible.
True.
But for me, given what she has accomplished outside of WWE in a mere six, seven months in ring, what she's done for Impact, I'm not saying she's got to do a whole tour and go to AEW and New Japan. No. I say spend another year in Impact, build that cachet even more so that when they do bring you back, they have to put you at the top of the card. I'm not convinced right now that WWE feels like they would have to put her back because they already have. And it's not a knock to her, you know? And it's interesting, too, because I think for TNA, okay, Deonna's gone. If Trinity goes, who becomes the new centerpiece around the Knockouts division now that you have TNA Plus, this new streaming service, you're charging more money for it. You know, what's going to be the draw? And I think prior to this news about Trinity, Trinity's the draw, you know? And then everybody else kind of falls in there. Outside of that right now, I don't know who the draw is. So to me, I think TNA, if they haven't done so already, should dig deep in that pocket, sweeten this deal so that she can't go anywhere, you know, because TNA, everybody won from Trinity being there. Trinity won, TNA won, all the wrestlers benefited, you know, and I think the wrestling community benefited because now we have an African-American female dominating another brand. So I just think, again, I'm not Trinity. I don't know what is the deciding factor for her decision, but I think for everybody involved, Trinity in TNA makes much more sense, at least for another year.
For sure. And that's the thing, like, I asked the question, like, how do you fit her in? What happens if she does come back in the Rumble? You know, does she have to win? If she doesn't win, does she have to win something within the next 3 months or so? Will that feel as though, you know, her coming back was a waste of time if those things don't happen? Would it feel as though she left for almost no reason? And for me, if something like that doesn't happen, by summertime, if she returns this month, that's exactly how I feel. I think that's exactly how I feel. I just see her being thrown in the exact same place as she was before. So she was held in high regard, but never given the real shot, never given the run, never given the real matches. The last thing we remember, apart from her and Mercedes and Sasha Banks being tag team champions, which didn't last long. The last thing we remember was the match that she had with Charlotte and her return at the Royal Rumble 2 years prior. There's not a lot, and I don't see, as you said, Gerard, I don't see it being a thing where WWE will feel they have to put her at the top of the card in the women's division if she returns this month. I just don't see it happening.
To me, the only way this works is if WWE, this is going to sound crazy to somebody. The only way this works is if WWE adds a potential fourth brand. Because I don't see anybody going, she should go to NXT. And that's not a knock to NXT. But I don't see anybody saying that, even though their women's division is stacked. Right. I say a fourth brand, because in that fourth brand, you can now make her the face of that particular brand. I don't know if she becomes the face of SmackDown or Raw anytime soon, just because of the top tier. And please, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying Trinity is not a top tier talent. She is. But the problem right now is WWE has a ton of top tier talent. Mm-hmm. Only one of them can hold the championship. And so that means you have to do something super significant for the others for us to still go top tier talent. And for somebody who left as a champion, and think about it, she walked out as a champion.
Yeah.
So if you walk out as a champion, you can't come back without having an opportunity to win gold for us to feel like you leaving mattered. Punk didn't leave as a champion. When Austin left, he didn't leave as a champion. All these folks didn't walk out with belts. She walked out with a championship. So it just feels like for her to get the respect we feel like she deserves, there needs to be at least talk of her in the championship conversation. But I think even more than that, I think there has to be a championship win and championship reign. I think so.
For me to make it impactful, yeah, she would have to, at the very least, win the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And then if she gets to Mania and doesn't win the match, that's a different story. But she has to come in and, yeah, be given something. It's I don't want to say take pity or consolation prize, but it's almost like because of that scenario, we do need to kind of mend fences here. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I argued last week that Mercedes Moné, I think, suffers the same fate. If she comes back now,
I agree.
Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Where does she go? Like, at best, she could be like a savior for Bayley and Bayley's situation with damage control, which we foresee. But Mercedes Moné doesn't have like a guaranteed spot right now, even if she was to come back tomorrow. So, it's could these guys do something even, say, post-Mania? Definitely. They can then be put into a program. They could be big main event challengers for women's titles across Raw or SmackDown. But within the next 3 months, there isn't really space for any of them to come in and do anything. I think things are beginning more and more to be set in stone. The last thing I would say on this is that the one thing that I guess is still the possibility, anomaly, however you want to look at it, is this relationship with Endeavor and TNA on one side, WWE on the other. Could they do something intelligent here and send her over there as Knockouts champion?
That would work.
Or don't even, if she loses on the weekend, she still goes over to WWE. But, oh my God, 2 weeks later, she's back on TNA.
We're using the rub of WWE
to improve our TNA product. We're using this relationship of Endeavor in between to do something. And she becomes almost iconic because she is literally going from show to show. Oh my God, Trinity showing up this week. I guess the name thing would probably be a bit of an issue. She'll be Naomi on one show and Trinity on the other. That could be a way to almost bridge the gap between these two companies, since there is almost like a bridge called Endeavor, you know, between them.
I think for me, that would be the perfect scenario. So when we had this whole thing, we all talked about this in our chat. When we had this whole thing of Triple H making this big announcement last week, Thursday, we saw so many things that made us believe there was some kind of, you know, connection between TNA and WWE. you know, this whole now premium live events and, you know, Impact using Worlds Will Collide and all sorts of stuff. And then the rumors, started with Trinity coming back to WWE. So we thought there's something going on here. And for me, I felt as though that would be the perfect scenario, you know, would be Trinity turning up to the Rumble still as Knockouts champion. Even if she wasn't Knockouts champion, as you said, Mex, you know, she still appears at the Royal Rumble, but then returns to Impact the following week or however many days later or whatever it is. You know, I mean, she's still a part of the TNA roster and doing her thing there. And every now and again, maybe there's a Worlds Collide come, you know, WrestleMania weekend or whatever else. And we see, you know, NXT versus TNA and we still get some kind of connections and, you know, maybe even Trinity versus Tiffany Stratton or something like that. You know what I mean? Stuff like that could happen. For me, that would be the perfect scenario. It wouldn't put too much pressure on one WWE throwing Trinity to the top of the women's division. Mm-hmm. Two, her feeling as though she has to be part of that women's division because she'd still be top of Impact. I think I'm still a little bit in hope that might be the case. There's something in the works, and whether they announce it as a big thing or not, you know what I mean, that they're working together in some way behind the scenes or whatever it is. Every now and again, you might see someone go to, you know, Impact for a PLE, you know, just as they did with Charlie Dempsey mm-hmm. or Japan or something similar to that kind of thing. For me, that's the perfect scenario. Moving a little away, but still within the same thing, we mentioned Mercedes, and we're saying, you know, that the possibility is, or the 90% chance that's been said for like the last 3 weeks, is 90% right. chance she's gonna turn up in AEW. Again, what irks me with both Trinity and Mercedes is the fact that whether they end up in WWE or Mercedes in AEW, it's kind of like, but what do they do with them? And I never thought that this would be the case. A year later, a year after they left WWE, have done what they've done, set the records that they've done, whether that be YouTube views, whether that be ticket sales, all the rest of it. And still we're like, but what do they do with them? Like, is Gerald, do you feel that that's a concerning thing? Or is that more of a case of the better state of women's wrestling at the moment?
I think that it is a direct reflection of what some of these other companies are doing in terms of women's wrestling. So for instance, when they left, we all were like, okay, this could be really, really cool. Mercedes shows up in New Japan. We're like, okay, yeah, everybody go buy New Japan World. You know, go buy it. We're going to go to Battle in the Valley, which ironically Battle in the Valley this year is happening at the same time as Hard to Kill. Interesting. And there's probably something there. Who knows? But what we did not foresee, we knew that she being Mercedes would become the face of New Japan's women's division and do some things in Stardom. We did not see A, Mercedes getting injured. And then B, it feeling like New Japan all of a sudden stopped being dedicated to women's wrestling.
Right.
What a difference a year makes. Last year, the women's title was the second match on the Wrestle Kingdom card. This year, it was on a pre-show that nobody could find for Stardom hours before things started. Mm. And there was no women's representation at Wrestle Kingdom. So the issue really isn't even a WWE issue, as they've continued and I think furthered their commitment to women's wrestling. I think Impact has furthered its commitment to women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think AEW is the place that has really probably been the most egregious when it comes to how women's wrestling has been treated in terms of these larger promotions, and people have had major issues with it. I think only now we're starting to see, obviously, a Toni Storm kind of breakthrough in this space. We've seen Athena do amazing things on the Ring of Honor space. But the challenge is the rest of the wrestling world hasn't seemed to caught up to where Mercedes right now can go, considering Trinity found her foothold in Impact. Ooh. So that, I think, is the real challenge. The challenge is, where can they become the face of the brand? Trinity found her spot in Impact. Mercedes was supposed to have found that spot in New Japan, but nobody anticipated New Japan seemingly losing interest in women's wrestling once Mercedes got injured. So this is interesting now, because it doesn't make sense for her to go back to New Japan, given their commitment to women's wrestling. Right. We have not been convinced with what AEW has done with women's wrestling to say, oh, that'd be an amazing spot. Like, I think most of us are concerned about what's going to happen with Deonna. When Jade left, I think that told us a lot about the state of women's wrestling. Thunder Rosa is back, but we saw her in a tag match. We aren't really talking much about Julia Hart as the TBS champion. Honestly, if it wasn't for the timeless Toni Storm gimmick, we wouldn't be talking about her as the women's champion. No. So I don't know if Mercedes and AEW make sense. And so to answer the question, I think it's really got to do with what we could not predict in these other brands and organizations relative to their handling of women's wrestling.
It's interesting. Just minutes before he even came live, I saw a quick thing with Eric Bischoff saying that he doesn't believe that Mercedes is going to make any difference to AEW. Now, I didn't read it in detail, so I don't know whether he's saying it's because of Mercedes or because of AEW. I'm not sure. Also, Mex, you said something as well on a wrestling's podcast, you know, talking about how, you know, at one point Saraya ended up in AEW, and everyone, including herself, thought that she was going to change the women's division. Lo and behold, nothing's changed whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that a similar thing, you know, you probably expect a similar thing with Mercedes. If Mercedes signs with AEW, would it be a mistake, or is she right to kind of go in and think, I can eventually change this whole thing?
I think if Mercedes signed like a multi-year deal, as they say, to AEW, it would be a mistake. Just from the sheer fact of in 4 years, 4.5 years, there's been no evidence that they care about women's wrestling. There's been good times, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's been a few iconic moments and stuff for the women's title and stuff like that. But on a whole, they haven't shown enough. They've got the personnel. I would argue it's never been a talent problem. Some people will say, yeah, some of the talents aren't up to par, but I would personally argue it's never been a talent problem. It's just been a booking issue or a lack of care for those divisions. Some are saying that, you know, Athena has made Tony Khan sit up and pay attention to women's wrestling and stuff like that. I don't know. I was arguing the other day that Athena probably doesn't want to go to AEW. She's probably happy in Ring of Honor just doing what she's doing, you know, so... Mercedes, I would, as a fan, I want to see her turn up. I want to watch her wrestle. You see what I mean? So if even if it means AEW, I'll be happy to see her. But I would be worried that this is going to be a long 3 years if this is what you're going to sign. I don't have any issue if it's more like a appearance deal. You do an appearance deal for a certain amount of time. If they are showing you that they are turning things around, things are improving, and then you want to sign a multi-year deal, cool, fine, because we have evidence to show that we've turned the corner here and that we care. But, you know, other than that, like, no one's going to, you know, commit to something just because, like, oh, you know, there's money over here. There's money everywhere. Like, money isn't like a bargaining chip here, really. The matches, I would argue, there's a definite Toni Storm match that she gets. There's probably a high quality Jamie Hayter match she gets. There's probably a really fun sports entertainment type program she can get out of Britt Baker. There'll be other good matches with Riho, good matches with Shida. But is there even enough there right now? Deonna Purrazzo, of course, will be a great match. Maybe a Serena Deeb. Like, there's a handful. There's literally a handful of stuff, and then how you book it. So I think if she goes, do it by appearance. Let the evidence show that these guys actually care. If not, you pull the escape rope and say, yeah, I'm done. And like we're just saying, New Japan have basically shown that, boy, this was all kind of for Mercedes, because the minute Mercedes turned around and she was injured or whatever, did nothing. It all went to nothing. Like, so yeah, it's a very delicate situation. I'd like to think she's got her business hat on. Or if she is going to sign a multi-year deal, she probably bleeds them dry for every coin that they have in the bank. One or the other.
I mean, the talk has been that the reason, one of the reasons why things have broken down, allegedly broken down with WWE, is because she was asking for Charlotte Flair money. And WWE weren't willing to give her that. I mean, I can't see why she couldn't use that, however much it is, with AEW. You know what I mean? There's no one else really that who's going to put bums on seats, bring eyes to the, to the program and all the rest of it more than Mercedes. No one that they have at the moment is doing it. I don't think as great as she's doing with the gimmick itself, the whole Toni Storm thing. I almost feel as though it's almost belittling her. For me, it's the type of gimmick that someone coming up would do in order to get attention. Not someone who should be established would have to start doing. But I think for me, that magnifies the state of the women's division in AEW.
Yes, correct.
That someone as good as Toni Storm has to do this. She's doing it great. It's always entertaining. But I don't see a necessity to it. Anyway, I've gone off track. But anyway, I think Mercedes is probably the only female that can go in and do something. But again, it's not down to just who she is. It's down to the booking. And if Tony Khan doesn't really care about this women's division, it will become a bad decision very quickly for Mercedes. But we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of AEW, things changing. Let's move into our predictions for 2024. Obviously, we've seen over the last few months the rise of Swerve in AEW. So many people calling for him to be, an AEW champion. We currently see Samoa Joe, which we did not expect to see. Samoa Joe as AEW champion. Gerard, how long does it have to take? How long should it take, should I say, for Swerve to become AEW champion in 2024? Does it happen this year? Does it happen before summer? Does he beat Samoa Joe? Like, what has to happen in order for this trajectory to kind of makes sense at the end?
Here's part of the problem, and we've seen this before, right? I think it was, it's got to be 22 at this point, when the Acclaimed was so hot. And matter of fact, they were fighting Swerve and Keith Lee.
Yes.
And I believe it was at All In or All Out where they lost that title match, and people were going, the Acclaimed should have won. They should have won that tag title match. And then he tried to make it right at the event at Arthur Ashe in New York City. I think sometimes Tony Khan doesn't necessarily strike while the iron is hot. He kind of comes at the tail end. And by then, it's almost too late. So to that end, Swerve honestly should be champion right now. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. He's the hottest thing in AEW, bar none. And what may have started with the Prince Nana dance is more than that, right? Like, we like Toni Storm because she's timeless, but we don't remember any Toni Storm matches in AEW right now. The talk of AEW in terms of one of the matches of the year was the match with Swerve and Hangman Page. Where literally coming out of the big London show, Swerve went on a trek and he said, hey, you're going to pay attention to me and I'm going to show you why I should be AEW world champion. And he goes into a match where there's no title connected at all and puts on the banger that steals the whole show. Then he goes into the Continental Classic tournament and should have won that in theory. Should have. But he didn't, because they wanted to tell a different story with Eddie Kingston, which, by the way, Mex correctly predicted. So congratulations. I give you your flowers, sir. You got it all the way right, okay? Every time something happened, I was like, He got it right. Good grief. But when it comes to Swerve, Swerve should be our champion right now. So that means that the latest they can wait for this is Revolution. The latest they can wait is Revolution. Let Samoa Joe, they've already teed up Hook, which I think is a mistake. They teed up Hook to get a shot at Samoa Joe. Why isn't he fighting for the international title or the TNT title? I don't know. But we clearly know Samoa Joe's going to beat Hook. So you give Samoa Joe a couple of title defenses, that's cool. But by the time we get to Revolution, if on that massive card, which is going to be Sting's retirement, if the other massive moment that doesn't happen in Greensboro is Swerve winning the world title from Samoa Joe, cancel Christmas. Just forget it. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. This man should be your world champion. He's been telling us, he's been showing us, all of the stats prove it. What he does in the ring, he gets it. He's about to star in a movie. Come on already. Make this man your world champion and then take this thing in the trajectory that it needs to go. It's not a knock to Samoa Joe because I want to see Samoa Joe as a champion. But with Swerve being this hot right now and you've not put any singles gold on him at all, Revolution. That's it. This can't wait until Double or Nothing. It can't wait until London. It can't. No. Don't give me it. No. Give it to us. In March, at Revolution.
I'll just add to that there is something I was wrong on. Following the Hangman and Swerve match, the death match, I said, you know, yes, he's going towards the world title, but maybe I didn't believe they were ready to do it then, because literally, like you said, Gerard, TK doesn't ever, you know, iron his clothes when the iron is hot. Nope. So I believed that, you know, maybe an international title could be just a filler. I guess that international title came in the shape of the Continental Classic and the performances he put on there. But I was wrong in the sense that even with the Continental Classic tournament, he's too hot. He's too hot. He can't be denied. Like, it is world title time. Mm-hmm. Please turn on your iron and iron your clothes, man. Mm-hmm. And with him now, so my prediction, I guess, in regards to this conversation, Samoa Joe, I think Samoa Joe should have a Miro TNT-esque kind of run. Miro's run wasn't long, but he had 8 defenses and he murdered everyone that got in the ring with him. Mm. And it felt like, oh my God, he's going to take the title off this guy. Until they put Sammy Guevara in front of him. So give Samoa Joe like these really solid on TV defenses, tearing apart guys, worthy guys. Don't put, you know, jobbers or jabronis in front of him. Mm. And then we get to a point where it seems like a lot of people are saying it might be a triple threat match at Revolution. You're looking at like a Samoa Joe defending against a Hangman and a Swerve. I'm not really bothered if it's a singles match or triple threat right now. I don't think the story is clear enough for us to know or have a preference. But Revolution is where it needs to happen. Mm. Swerve needs to win at Revolution. Unfortunately, I say that because I'm almost certain Will Ospreay is winning this title in London. Mm. We maybe get a main event of Swerve versus Will Ospreay for the title, which gives Swerve a kind of like a 6-month-ish reign. But I'm almost certain Will Ospreay is going to win this title in London. So we need to get Swerve onto that title now. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Swerve having a 6-month reign. It doesn't sound very cool because we're living in a land where everyone holds the title for at least a year now.
Right.
But he can still accomplish a lot within 6 months. I think, you know, we get Ospreay winning this title. Or maybe Swerve circles around and, you know, gets another go at Ospreay after that, whatever the case may be. But I think we're seeing a lot of title changes when it comes to AEW this year. We're seeing Joe as champion. Mm. We're going to see Swerve as champion. And I think we're going to end the year at least with Ospreay as champion. That's my
I don't think that's bad at all, you know. And here's the thing for me is like, you know, just the fact that Samoa Joe is the champion at the moment. Up until the day of World's End, I didn't see it happening. when World's End came around, I was like, okay, you know, MJF's hurt, you know, Samoa Joe was the one that did so-and-so to him and, you know, made a deal and blah, blah, blah. He had to win. But in no way am I seeing Samoa Joe holding that title for a year. Not even 6 months. This is as much as I wouldn't want to say this about Samoa Joe, this is transitional. This is transitional. And there's no one else who should win the title more than Swerve. Maybe 6 months ago, I probably would have said Jay White. But there's no one else, not a Moxley, definitely not an Eddie Kingston. There's literally no one else. So I think come Revolution, yes, Swerve has to win it. And if he then loses it in London to Will Ospreay, fine. No problem whatsoever. You know, as long as the run makes sense, as long as the run is credible, losing to Will Ospreay would not be a bad thing. The match that I would expect them to have, jeez. Wow. And it's a match I don't think has ever happened before. I don't think, as far as I know, I don't think it's ever happened before. So that would be phenomenal in of itself. It being in London in front of another, you know, 70 plus, 80 plus thousand people, all of that, fine, no problem. So I think for me, that makes a lot of sense. Moving on to any other predictions. You know, the other person that we see who's red hot right now is Trick Williams on NXT. Gerard, what are you predicting for Trick in 2024?
Well, Trick Williams definitely becomes the NXT champion. I think that's a foregone conclusion. How long that title reign is, I'm not sure. Mm. Because I think there are people who want to see Trick improve in the ring. But I think one of the things we're all good with is watching that trajectory. We've watched Bianca improve. We've watched all the people who we really, really have enjoyed improve in the ring. And I think that's one of the reasons why Trick is in NXT. I think Trick becomes the face of NXT as he wraps up this thing by, I thought it would be by Vengeance Day, and maybe it will be still, I don't know, to wrap up things with
Carmelo,
thank you. To wrap that up by then, so that potentially we could have, you know, him win the title at Stand and Deliver. I'm almost rushing this because I feel like it's gone on too long at this point. There are only so many additional things. I don't even know what else they could do right now that would extend the story. The story's been told. We got what we need. Let's get the match. Tell us that, okay, yeah, I did it. I couldn't stand it. And now it's time for Vengeance. Vengeance Day, they have their match. Let Carmelo go up to the main roster because he was very comfortable on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And let Trick go and get his desired match against Dragunov for the championship. And let that be the thing at Stand and Deliver. So I definitely think Trick Williams has a big year this year. And it'll be fun to see how he can lead NXT. I don't know how long his reign is, probably until the summer. It just depends on who would be ready to take it from him right now. Mm. I don't know who that would be just yet. And maybe I'm not thinking, I think it would be probably too soon for Obafemi, who we may talk about at some point in terms of the breakout. I don't know if Lexus King would be ready to be NXT champion. Wesley probably won't be back until September or so. Right. I don't know that he'll be ready physically for that. So it leaves things to be pretty unpredictable. But the one thing I can say is Trick Williams becomes the NXT champion this year, hopefully by Stand and Deliver.
You mentioned Obafemi. Obafemi is the one that won the NXT Breakout Tournament and now has, you know, the contract that gives him the chance to challenge the NXT champion anytime, anywhere. Very similar to Money in the Bank. Mex, do you see Obafemi capturing his title? Who do you think he's going to, you know, cash in against? What do you know about Obafemi that makes you think, yeah, he's the breakout guy?
Yeah, he's very talented. I remember I was watch. I think I was doing the NXT watch party for can't remember the last show they had done, where Dragunov defended against Baron Corbin. And we were talking about Obafemi and Deadline. Yeah, Deadline. And I think there was a lot of people in the chat that was comparing him to like a Lesnar, like just a freak athlete, more so than the Omos type athlete, as kind of big stoic giant sort of thing, which I think more and more I can see definitely in that final performance against is it Riley Osborne?
Yeah, Osborne.
I can see, I didn't believe it at first when people were saying it, but I can see it where they were going with it. There's definitely something there with him. I want to see them do this right. Like, we've seen the likes of Dabo Kato come through, and well, he doesn't even work for the company anymore. Almost. I think I read something this morning saying that he might be getting repackaged, but he's largely off TV right now. So it's like Triple H is kind of showing us here, I don't really have a place for these big men, but I don't really want to use them. That's not maybe stylistically what I want to do. But at the same time, between him, Shawn Michaels, whomsoever, they've given Obafemi a chance here. So I'd like to think that means something for him, or this could be them starting their Dabo Kato projects or their Omos projects from scratch again, sort of thing. So I would like him to go for Dragunov, because I think it's only right. You take your one chance, you go for the champion, the champion of the brand. Dragunov can, you know, realistically beat him, because I can't lie, if Trick Williams was champion, as much as I love Trick, if Obafemi versus Trick Williams, I'd be expecting Obafemi to clean the floor with him. So let it be Obafemi versus Dragunov. He could take a loss, but you know, I think there's a very bright future for Obafemi. I think they're invested in him.
You know, we've seen in the past a couple of breakouts, you know, not be unsuccessful when challenging for the respective championships. But at the same time, they've still gone on to do great things and probably even won the championship later on. You know, and I see that being the case with Obafemi. I think it definitely would be too early for him to win that championship this year. I don't know when, how early he cashes in or the rest of it. I have a feeling that with the intensity of what we've seen when it comes to him and, you know, how he is in the ring, how he's spoken since he's won, that he may do it very early on. But for that reason, I think that would be the safest option as well, because for that reason, he loses, because we're not expecting him to win. We don't necessarily need him to win, but him to just put in a great performance, make us feel as though he could have won, you know, at some point in the match, but then goes on to do other things and maybe in time, you know, whether that be this year, early next year, he wins it or wins something, North American Championship maybe, you know what I mean? And that for me would be okay. You know, this guy, up until the breakout tournament, only had one match on TV.
Right.
And it was a win against Aramenta at Spring Breaking, I believe it was on. That had people talking. We never saw him again until, you know, this breakout tournament. He's intense. He can move. He's large. He's massive. And I think what's interesting, you know, you mentioned people made comparisons to Brock Lesnar. I definitely can see that, but again, he's big, he's black, he's African, so we're going to make the comparisons to those guys as well. So like your Dabo Kato, your Omos, and for me, I feel as though he's almost like the perfect merging of those two guys, in a sense where Dabo Kato was big and could move. Again, even with Omos, as big as he is, he can still move very well for his size. But for me, you know, Obafemi has something more than those two guys as well. He's very much believable as a champion or a future star, but definitely way too early to kind of put any kind of belt on him or, you know, anything like that. But again, he's got so much time on his hands as well to make a big thing of himself. And I see a good future for him. My only concern would be the way he's packaged moving forward. We've seen again, you know, the whole African thing. The WWE just doesn't necessarily know how to do it properly. I'm sorry, it just hasn't worked correctly for everyone. I mean, Kofi Kingston wasn't even African. when he came in, he was Jamaican. Right. You know, Apollo Crews, yes, it was weird at first, kind of worked out, but he's not doing it anymore with his whole African accent and all the rest of it. Dabba Keita, we've mentioned, you know, Omos, we've mentioned. I can't think of anyone else in between, but, you know, I'm hoping that there's a way that he's packaged to where it's not over the top, it's not stereotypical. It literally is, he's a big, intense guy, and that's what does it for him. The whole African thing is just part of his characteristic more than it being his character, you know, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping they do this correctly because I think there's a bright future for him.
Right. I just want to throw in there, also from that breakout tournament, who I was, Obafemi obviously impressed. Riley Osborne, I think, was really good, and how they've kind of, you know, put him in between the Chase U stuff is really smart, I think.
Yeah.
Tavon Heights.
He's a problem.
That guy, he's a problem. Looks like the one. Like, he honestly looks like the one. Like, I think, again, he's someone that I think they said was part of the American National Olympic wrestling team at one point in the last few years. When it was him versus Obafemi, I was actually quite annoyed because I was like, I need this to be the final. Tavon Heights, I guess, you know, over the next few months, we might see more of him. He looks like someone that could be very, very special.
I feel as though Tavion Heights is literally what Gable Steveson should have been.
As
much as we said Damon Kemp is better than his brother, Tavion Heights is potentially even better than Kemp.
I feel as though
Tavion is, they hoped Gable Steveson would be. And I think he still could be. But again, as we've said, you know, a few weeks back, a month ago or so, there's just something in Gable Steveson mentally that's just not working out. And it's just not, it's just not working out for him in that respect. But I think Tavion, go for it.
As I say, since we're mentioning the breakout tournament, one of the other guys that stood out to me was Keanu Carver.
Yeah, there's something about him.
When I saw him, I was like, oh my gosh.
He reminds me of Rocky Maivia.
Yeah, in a far more athletic and dominating way.
That you know what I mean? That part of it.
Yeah, it was. I found myself going, I guess this NIL thing is working, because where they're finding these guys is incredible. Mm. Like, these are massive guys who, you know, Booker T talks about passing the airport test all the time. They more than pass the airport test. And, they all do all of the things, you know.
I like it.
And it's, I like it. so it's pretty awesome. I mean, and so when I saw him, and apparently it was his first match, he looked incredible. So I think they've done a great job in finding people for these breakout tournaments and the like, which just shows me that the pipeline in NXT is deep. It is very deep on both the male and female side, it's exciting times.
I think NXT is almost in a place where there was too much good talent. I think they're getting there if they're not there already. It's a very good thing, but it's going to be interesting because there have been a few guys that have been, you know, brought in through the NIL who are either not there or we've just not seen at all yet. You know, there's some ladies, the ladies always have their little meetings in the dressing room, and you've seen some faces that have never yet been in the ring. You know what I mean? So it's just like, okay, I'm intrigued to see what happens here. And even some of the ladies that were in the ladies breakout tournament, we haven't seen them since. They're showing in the breakout tournament, but we see them backstage, all that kind of stuff. So NXT, I find themselves in a good place, but it might be too good degree.
I'm pretty sure we heard, like, you know, it's like they come in with off the back of this program. If they haven't made progress within 6 months, they're out the door.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And it creates this revolving door. It creates this urgency of, I need to make it. I need to improve on this. There's no one that's sitting here taking a paycheck, no matter how big or small the paycheck may be, because it's like, if you don't reach the next checkpoint, if you don't reach the next milestone, you're gone. Mm-hmm. So it's creating a lot of these stars. You have to learn quickly. You have to become of a certain standard by, you know, these certain monthly checkpoints, whatever the case is. And the biggest kind of evidence to me that no, this is deep. The roster is now deep with even people that are still learning and aspiring. Mm-hmm. Is that the first time when Nikita Lyons went down, they brought in Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka right. went down, they brought in Kalani James. I said, ooh. Nah. And mm-hmm. these guys, all like Sol Ruka, ready to go. Kalani right. James, ready to go. And it's like, yeah, this is a problem. You have a lot of talent here. Like, it's crazy.
It's a very, very good problem. It's a very, very good problem. I love the fact that we know for a fact NXT is a training ground for these stars as well. It's not ROH where you kind of feel, you know, ROH has got the reputation that it has. So anyone that comes in, you have to know what you're doing by, you know, straight away. We're not really ready to give people so much chance or be patient with them. Whereas on NXT, we're all here for the patience. Make as many mistakes as you want. Do what you're doing. That's what you're here for. That's what the show's about, all the rest of it. And I think that's a brilliant thing. But it's going to be very interesting to see who comes through, who goes up, who gets, you know, who gets future endeavored, who goes on to do other things. I mean, it's interesting to see that a lot of these people who are on the NIL, of course, very few were aspiring wrestlers when they were younger. But right. to see, I'm sure there'll be a few of them who may do their thing in NXT or on Level Up or at the Performance Center, not quite make it, but probably still continue wrestling because mm-hmm. it's become something for them. You know what I mean? And I think for me, that part of it is interesting as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mentioned a certain Rocky Maivia. We've got a few minutes left, but let's just get into the biggest thing that happened. I don't know why we take us so long to talk about it, but a certain guy decided to make another return the other day. It was The Rock, of course, again breaking YouTube records, over 120 million views on YouTube, on WWE's YouTube channel. He's made a return, but compared to his, I think it was October return, which felt like a one-off, mm-hmm. this is very much a lot much more intentional. You know, there was rumblings and ramblings about a former WWE champion turning up the other day, a couple of weeks ago on Raw. We were all, all thinking it was going to be Andrade. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But then, you know, Jinder Mahal comes out. That was the reaction of the fans. What I just did was the reaction of the fans, by the way.
Right.
You know, he comes out, he says all this stuff. He does the whole political thing and he hates the US, and of course, if you smell, and the greatest video you will probably see in 2024 is when Samantha Irvin, there's a video of Samantha Irvin reacting to when she heard that if you smell.
Yeah,
that was everyone. The Rock's come out, done his thing, talked smack with Jinder, beat him up, took him out. But then of course, he's then done this whole thing of, you know, you're looking to eat somewhere. I was like, He's done this thing before, and you had mentioned like one of the most, you know, the popular places in that city, and mm-hmm. everyone goes crazy and he leaves. But he said, where do I sit? Do I sit in a booth? Do I sit at the bar, or do I sit at the head of the table? Intentions, challenge, everything set in motion. But the question is, when is this going to happen? Does it have to happen at WrestleMania 40? But there's big talk of it happening as early as Elimination Chamber, which is going to be in Perth, Australia. Mex, does it matter where it happens, or does it have to happen somewhere? And of course, we know we have all this whole thing with Cody finishing his story and other stuff that could and should be happening at WrestleMania. How does it all work? How does it all play together? How does it fit in?
I'll put it like this, yeah. It should have happened at WrestleMania 39 because that's what I bought a ticket to go and see.
sorry, mate. No refunds. Sorry.
Does it need to happen at WrestleMania 40? I would say, as big as the match is, I would want it. I'll say I would want it to happen at WrestleMania 40. Does it need to? No. Like, if we take a step back, this Australia show, Elimination Chamber, is actually capacity-wise bigger than WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
Like, if they fill the place, there will be more people in attendance than there could be at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So it is a big show. You put Rock on the card in a main event, it's a massive show. Like, I've been dubbing this potentially, if they go with it, I've been dubbing this WrestleMania Down Under. Like, that's exactly what it will be. Because Rhea Ripley's going to have a massive part to play of that card as well. Mm-hmm. They're going to put other big matches on that show. So, you know, any show The Rock is on, Roman Reigns is on, main eventing together, it's a massive show. They shouldn't disrupt what they're doing and, you know, the main stories they're trying to tell. Yes, you only get once in a lifetime to do this at WrestleMania, and that's the biggest show and stuff. But at the same time, I'd argue that WWE are trying to show us that everything is a big show. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take some of these so-called B pay-per-views to different places in the world to give some type of excitement to it. So this is a way to bring excitement to something we would kind of not dismiss, because I think in recent times Elimination Chamber being a way to get to Mania has been quite good. Mm-hmm. But a massive show like this in another country, The Rock, Roman Reigns main event in, this is the right place to do it without causing too much upset. My only caveat to everything I just said is as long as Cody goes on to beat Roman at Mania. Because if Cody ain't beating Roman at Mania, just do it at Mania and give Cody something else to do. I'm sorry, right, Cody. But Roman stuff has to end. And it's because, you know, by then Roman would have beaten Lesnar, John Cena, you know, all of these names, the three guys he's going to face in Royal Rumble, The Rock. Ooh. Like, this is when Cody should now absorb all the powers and you're like, wow, I beat Roman Reigns. Like, but if we're not going to do that and Cody has to wait because Hulk Hogan's reign is still out there, then I think just do it at Mania, because that's the true, you know, venue for something like this.
Mm. Gerard, it's interesting, you know, Mex mentioned that, you know, WWE on this thing where every show is a big show. You know, the guys at Endeavor TKO have already mentioned, you know, that now these shows are not about, you know, the card necessarily, but about, you know, putting on a massive show. We don't have to worry about necessarily ticket sales, but it's more about, you know, raising the brand and all the rest of it. It's interesting to see that what we saw after The Rock's appearance was footage and photos of The Rock interacting with Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, that again makes me feel as though, and there's been reports that, you know, the Australians have asked about the availability of The Rock before his appearance as well. Mm-hmm. For me, it's almost imminent that this match happens at Elimination Chamber. It may sound wrong to us, you know, as lifelong fans, and knowing that, you know, this match probably should have happened last year at Mania, knowing that Mania is the biggest show, knowing that even on The Rock's sitcom, he even said that him and his cousin can only have a match at Mania. Mm-hmm. It looks as though more than likely it's not happening there. It's going to be an Elimination Chamber. Is this a mistake, or is this basically, you know, a sign from TKO, WWE, on just how intentional they are when it comes to these shows now?
I believe it was about 11 months ago on this very platform that we saw a certain rematch between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. And it was scheduled for this pay-per-view called Elimination Chamber. And we sat here and we said, this is not the right move. This match is a WrestleMania match. Sure, we had something, you know, they teased it at Royal Rumble and we saw something happen at another, but this is a WrestleMania match. They made a mistake at the Elimination Chamber and we never got our WrestleMania match. True. Sting and The Undertaker never happened. We had the opportunity to make it happen at WrestleMania 31. It did not happen. Instead, we got Sting and Triple H. I'm here to tell you that The Rock versus Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber is a mistake. I need you to let a naysayer know that it is a mistake. You understand what I'm saying? This is not the way to go. Here's the deal. You don't have to put The Rock on an international card for the international card to be big. The fact that WWE is showing up in an international platform makes it big. Rhea Ripley being the Australian champion that she is, that's enough. The problem with the idea of if everything is big, then nothing is big. There is only one WrestleMania. There is only one Super Bowl. There is only one World Series. Everything else is leading up to or following that. You cannot have multiple WrestleManias. You confuse the brand. You confuse the optics. You can have big events elsewhere. Yes, you can. You can have stadium shows elsewhere. Yes, you can. But The Rock versus Roman Reigns only belongs in one place. That's at WrestleMania. If they put this elsewhere, they are making a massive mistake. My God, Mex bought a ticket last year with the intent of seeing The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. How many other tickets sold last year because of WrestleMania? Nobody thinks a year in advance, let me buy a ticket to Elimination Chamber because I think The Rock might show up. Nobody ever does that, okay? It only happens at WrestleMania. That's the only place this match can happen. And so if that means that, I don't know if they're really going to take Roman Reigns all the way out to beat Hogan's record. I don't know. I do think that The Rock versus Roman does not need a title connected to it, because if you put a title on it, we automatically know what's going to happen. There's no way Rock is going to win the world title against this version of Roman Reigns. Right. No way. So, but to answer your question, is it a mistake to do at Elimination Chamber? Absolutely. It is a waste of your proper cards. Because here's the thing. The Australian folks already have their tickets. They already have them. So adding something to that, that's not going to move a needle. You move the needle for your biggest event of the year. That's WrestleMania. And in terms of Cody finishing his story, we were in this same spot last year, right? Is it going to be Cody? Is it going to be Sammy? These are good problems to have. Yeah. I don't know creatively how they figure this one out. But I do know that The Rock and his over 170 million views and counting on all the socials from one statement of the head of the table, that's not happening at Elimination Chamber. Sorry.
All things lead as though it is happening at Elimination Chamber, but I completely
all things
agree
led
with
you. To a TNA announcement last Thursday. And it didn't happen, right? So be careful of the things we're saying are being led. All right.
Listen,
The Rock also hung out with Becky Lynch. Does that mean he's showing up at an Ireland show? Right? Is he going to be at Bash at Berlin? I don't think so. I'm telling you, The Rock, Roman, WrestleMania.
I'm with you right there. It should be right there. And I do feel as though it's a waste of time it being at Elimination Chamber. I don't see the point. I think the only, not even safety, but the only thing that makes me feel as though it not happening at WrestleMania is okay is because we've got this whole thing with Cody. You've got the possibility of it being CM Punk and Roman if, you know, CM Punk might win the Rumble and blah, blah, blah. There are other things that would still make WrestleMania feel big. But for me, for me, it's either you do it at Mania or you just don't do it at all. I don't see the point in doing it in between. I just don't see the point. Whether Roman's got the title or not, whether it's obvious that The Rock's going to lose, I don't think any of that matters either. It should be at Mania. But I just know it's not going to be. that's the problem. I just know it's not going to be. I know it's not. That's I just know it's not. Literally. And that's the problem here. But it is what it is. It's a good problem. It keeps everyone talking. There are so many possibilities and predictions. You know, you've got Cody in the mix, possibility of CM Punk. More than likely it's gonna be him and Seth. You've still got Damian Priest lurking with his money in the bank. You've got, Drew kind of breathing down everyone's necks as well. It's a brilliant place where WWE are at right now. For me, it's the only brand. I don't know if this is, me being biased or not. I don't know. But for me, it's the only company right now that I'm fully locked into in terms of what's happening, what's going on. It's got my attention. I'm eager to watch it every week. Not to say that it's perfect every week, not at all, but there's just something going on right now that just has my attention more than anything else. But yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting the next few months. But yeah, Rock Roman is happening in the Elimination Chamber and there's nothing we can do about it. You know what? And here's the other thing. I don't want to put myself in the Gerard position as last year when we were certain that Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar has to happen at WrestleMania, and then it didn't. Yeah. And that hurt me.
It hurt me too.
That hurt me, and then see Lashley not have nothing at all. Nothing. At me. Oh my word! That was different. So. Yeah, prediction for 2024. The earliest one is Rock Roman at Elimination Chamber. The Rock loses, disappears again, and Cody possibly finishes the story. Even that's not even set in stone. Mm-mm. I'm not necessarily asking the question. This is rhetorical. But what happens if Roman beats Cody again?
Right.
For him to go on to beat Hogan's record. Like,
prepare yourself for it. Prepare yourself.
Trust
for
me.
It. And I'm being
me.
Dead serious.
Trust prepare yourself me. For it. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Trust me. I'm seeing it as a strong possibility.
And speaking of Hogan, you know, this month is the 40th anniversary of the birth of Hulkamania. So
yeah, it is.
Just throw that into things.
Let's give him his little thing, and then let's get Roman to beat the record. I'd rather that than Cody finish the story. If I'm honest, the whole story thing kind of just. Died when he lost last year. It should have happened there and then. You know what I mean? But we'll see what happens. With all of that said, our time is up. This has been Wrestle Extra. You're watching on the WrestleMania UK YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe and click the notification bell to see when this guy Mex puts out all his reactions to AEW, WWE, and everything else in between. You can also find Mex on the Wrestling's channel. YouTube channel as well with the man them. You can find Mex on all socials on WrestleManiac UK on Instagram, WrestleManiac UK on X. Find this guy, the Professor Gerard Bonner, on all things Bonafide. You can find him elsewhere as well. Places like WWT Live, The Nightmare Factory, All Caribbean Wrestling, Arche, IWE. His own show, The Faction Show. I always forget about that one. And everywhere else as well. You can find me, A Dazzle, on Black Wrestling Alliance on Instagram and BWA Dazzle on X. Guys, everyone that joined us, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next time.